League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Hey-oh! It's hump day. I'm going to figure it out. It feels like Tuesday to me. It's weird.
Are you sure it doesn't feel like Monday after that?
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
It could feel that,
the week
too.
We did fly by.
Yeah, it kind of did, but at the same time, and it was fun yesterday, but it was like a barrage yesterday all at one time. And it's weird because both you guys, both and Barry Laminex here in the studio, we had both Barry and Travis yesterday. And so that's like the confusion of all confusion, because we already have like the shared time during the week. And then with everybody in the studio, and I guess I lost track of time. So yeah. Barry's here, I'm here, Nick Sharara's here. That means you should be here too. We are here till 4 o'clock. We got plenty to talk about because there's plenty going on, including that tree felling in the woods last night and the biggest stage of all. Nick actually said he watched baseball last night, which was shocking to me because Nick does not normally watch baseball unless the Astros are involved. But the first thing that I always do is I check in with my man Barry and I say, what's on your mind? What did you watch last night? Did you watch your pre-Christmas dose of NBA basketball, and did you watch the World Series?
Well, I there was a contest at the Houston Improv.
Oh, okay.
So I spent most of my night actually there.
Okay.
And then I got home in time for the eighth and ninth inning of the World Series, and then I was able to catch most of the San Antonio game. So, yeah, I didn't get to see the Cavs shellacked the Knicks, although it didn't sound like it was a very entertaining game.
It was weird because it was a 3-point game at half.
Oh, yeah?
And I was flipping back and forth, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. The Knicks are making this a game?
Yeah.
So then I went and watched the meat and potatoes part of the World Series where there was actually some offense. And then when I flipped back, the Cavs were up like 20. And I went,
what?
Boy, that happened fast.
Yeah.
That unraveled in a hurry.
But isn't that basketball? I mean, boy, you can really... You can get down by 20 in a hurry in today's NBA. In a couple of minutes, especially with the way folks shoot the three. Yeah, you flip away for a couple minutes and come back, it could be a whole different ballgame. So that doesn't surprise me, but that is interesting that they would have it that close. And then, so did the Knicks not, are they my surprise team not looking good?
No, game you know what? And we've got some people here that are Knicks fans, and they came to me this morning and they were like, so are they just really not that good? And I said, look, it's one game. I love their starting five. I think their starting five justifies everything you said about them yesterday. I'm concerned about their depth. But look, they're playing the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
They were a little jacked up. LeBron had a speech before the game that was pretty good that had the entire city jacked up too. But they came out and they realized on their home floor with the banner ceremony and the ring ceremony, they knew what they were supposed to do and they did it. So the big test for me is going to be just against everybody else. I want to see how the Knicks square up against, you know, the up-and-comers like Milwaukee, who I had said was going to be my surprise team in the East. But, you know, even teams like Washington, teams that might try and run you a little bit, because they don't have a lot of, like, gazelle legs,
yeah.
But they have some real steady NBA players. Courtney Lee at the two, who Rockets fans know, with Derrick Rose, with Porzingis, with Carmelo, and whoever they play at center. I mean, that's a pretty staunch starting lineup in the Eastern Conference. So I think they can be good. It's just last night, It was kind of weird, too, that Carmelo had to sit and watch guys that used to be on his team get rings like Shumpert and and Smith.
And I saw briefly, those rings look huge.
No, they're like, they're
that's
monsters.
Mammoth.
Yeah.
They should just start giving them like WWE belts.
I think or a doorknob. Because, yeah. I mean, just get your diamond encrusted doorknob instead, because these things are, they're ridiculous.
I wonder how much
days.
They're worth. Did they say how much they're worth?
I think back when the Rockets won them. I want to say they were in the $7,500 to $10,000 range.
That's
per ring.
It?
Yeah, that was back then.
Oh, okay.
So I got to believe with all the diamonds now and how big these things are, they got to be pushing that. I mean, they double that. I mean, those things are.
I was going to say they look like they would be in the neighborhood of like $25,000 with all the diamonds.
Right.
And because you know that, I mean, there's color in it, but it's like all diamonds and black diamonds. And yeah, I just imagine that would be just. I would sell mine immediately, by the way. I would just be like, yeah, give me that cash.
Would you?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want that.
See, that's the thing.
Because you can't wear it. I mean, I would literally not be able to lift my hand with a ring that big. I would just...
Well, but that's the thing. I mean, look, I would never wear it. I know a lot of people that do.
People do, though.
I'm going to tell you something.
They look corny as hell.
Joel story. Every year we have broadcast meetings.
Yeah.
When I was with the Rockets. And you have to go to New York, and you have to sit 2.5 days in a room with all the broadcasters in the league. The Heat guys were the most annoying guys on the planet because not only did they wear the ring, and you guys can't see this, but if I can describe it best for you, imagine that I have this doorknob on my finger like a ring, right? That's glowing, like glittering all over the place, right?
Yeah,
right?
Like a ring pop, just a big old, yeah.
Yeah, but then imagine like I'm doing a pageant wave on steroids, like as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Every time you walked by them, they would... the ring would flash, and they would they had long sleeves on. It's like they were trying to, you know, clear their sleeve, but they had to throw the ring in your face.
Oh God.
And I'm like look.
They did something.
Yeah. And it's like, look, man, I mean, exactly. You didn't do it. You lucked out because LeBron went there. But even if I got the ring, I'm keeping it in my sock drawer, right? Yeah. I think 4 or 5 with the Comets, 2 with the Rockets. And I'm telling you right now.
Oh, you count the Comets ones?
I mean, they're championships, but you got a ring for them. I'm just saying you got a ring for them.
Are they really, though, if they're not around? This is your whole tree analogy.
This is a tree in the woods, too. But at the same time,
around,
all I know
is
I got rings for those. I would never in a million years wear any of them.
Oh, you should.
I'd never wear any of them. No,
you know what you should do,
Joe?
No. Listen, hear me out. This is great.
I will hear you
out. I just had a great idea. You should put on the Comets rings on one hand and the Rockets rings and then do your radio picture. With those on, like doing like the hands crossed, almost wrestler style, where all the rings are showing, and then that should be the new picture for the website.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
What?
First of all, I don't.
Why
know if they,
not?
First of all, I don't know if they'd fit in. I don't.
Was
know if
it when you were fat or because you're fat now?
No, I'm much thinner
I mean,
than
I'm not saying
I think.
You're fat.
I think I'm thinner than I was back then.
Uh huh.
But at the
you got to do that though. You got to wear them all one day, and then just you know like
championship.
Walk
rings.
By some of the athletes here, like Trapp or Salisbury, and just shake your hands at them, like spirit fingers.
Like the Rockets ones are
and
cool,
just,
and my you know
trying
you're
to get you knocked out.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, John. That's why when Barry said I have a really good idea here, I immediately knew it was going to degrade me in some way.
That wasn't degrading. I'm trying to make you look flashy.
Okay, let me throw this out about the rings because I'll tell you this too. People, different athletes have different ways with their rings.
Yeah.
So I used to go to that Tahoe golf tournament every year with the guys. And
did you wear your rings?
And no.
Oh,
and but it's going to that point. So a lot of people say greatest of all time, right? Jerry Rice. Okay. Jerry Rice wears one of his Super Bowl rings on a gold chain like a choker around his neck,
like tight up,
and
high?
It's
like
snugly,
like a bolo,
it's snugly, and then. Like
great.
The Lake Tahoe celebrity event, you guys have seen it on TV. It's a Friday night of that weekend. There's always a big party, and inevitably, what happens is there's like a stage dance floor, risen up above everything, and Jerry Rice is one of those guys that ends up depending on how good he's feeling, inevitably he's going to be on that stage,
yeah.
And then his shirt's coming off, and.
Yeah,
almost every you've seen. I think there's someone you can see it. You can find it online.
Yeah, it's
but
all over.
Every time he does it, the first thing is everybody starts going, "What's around his neck?" And they find out it's a Super Bowl ring that looks like it's been super glued to his Adam's apple. That's how tight it is. That's just I just wouldn't do that. No matter if I got a ring or not, I'm They're in my sock drawer. I'm not wearing them.
You said you had five total? Three from the Comets and two from the Rockets?
I think four from the Comets. I think six total.
Oh.
Comets won four.
They won four, and then the fifth year they went out. Like, they just went.
Yeah, so I have four of those in the two Rockets.
So you got one for the thumb. See, you've got to do this. I'm gonna have you request new pictures
for the station. Of course you are.
And then you could rock those. Or, you know what you could do? You could get a chain and put them all on the chain.
It would almost be
like an abacus.
That's exactly what it would be.
Yes.
That's the abacus
Dude,
of rings.
You need to flaunt
no,
this, man.
No,
you need to walk up
no.
to Salisbury and be like, got rings, bro, and then hit him with some spirit fingers.
No.
How many rings you got? I got not one, not two.
Yeah.
Hey, Keenan's coming in today. Like, an idea. Keenan's coming in today. He's got two. He won one his rookie year.
That's it?
He won one his rookie year with the Redskins, and then he won one with the Buccaneers. Because it's interesting, and you say this, Barry, but some athletes and a lot of sports aficionados consider that ring to be like sacred and the greatest, and you know, you keep it for the rest of your life, and it stays in your family. And like you said, other people sell them.
We got a text that said the ring is the NBA 2015 NBA championship rings cost $13,500 apiece.
So it's in the neighborhood of $10,000 to $15,000.
Yeah, I would have thought much more as big and flashy.
I think because they're not.
How
like,
much do you think your Comets rings are worth? Like a couple hundred.
Well,
bucks?
First of all, I was in the front office, so they're QZs. They're not. There's no diamonds in those.
Oh, really?
Things. Oh yeah. They
switch it out.
The organization's like. Yeah, the organization's. Yeah.
So who pays for it? Does the NBA or the WNBA pay for the rings, or do like the Comets?
I can't tell
and the
you
Rockets?
That definitively, but I do believe there's an allowance from the league, and then the rest of it is on the team's responsibility. Yeah.
So I think
a lot of times too, what they should do that I don't think that they've done in the past, but maybe they may have started doing it where we'll pay for the ring, but if you want the real one with the diamonds in it, you got to pay for the diamonds, which
what?
I would do. Which I would do.
What?
I would do because then I've got some. Look, think about the how
I get if you do that to the WNBA, but they do that to the NBA players?
I'm not saying you do that. I'm saying they should at least have the option, because if you worked a whole year with that team and won the title, you put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears too.
Yeah,
you didn't play on the field or the floor, but at the same time, give the people the option, because a lot of people wanted in the office. Wanted the ability to make it a real ring, and they wouldn't let them back then. I think now, I think you can, but I'm not sure.
See, I think they should actually give the diamond option to the NBA players and just give it to the WNBA players.
Well, but I'm just saying, overall, the NBA players.
Women? Yeah, I mean, because the NBA has NBA players have bigger contracts. They probably got the money to do it.
Which is true.
How about pay the women more?
Yeah, but you know, some WNBA players for the season are getting like $35,000. That's it.
Man, that's almost as much as the rings are worth.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's crazy, isn't it? Hey, you want to chime in? We got plenty to talk about. We haven't even scratched the surface yet because we've got the World Series. We've got Texans. We've got college football. We've got all Rocket season starts tonight. So the trees can stop falling in the woods with no one around. Now we can start talking about what you think of your Rockets. Where are you? Okay, let me throw it out right now. We've done this in the past, and we've had nothing but silence. Now you guys know the season is upon us. The over-under in Vegas earlier this year, 43.5 on Rockets wins for the season. Let us know, are the Rockets going to win more or less than 43.5? Are they going to make the playoffs? What seed do you think they're going to be? We'll talk about everything and more. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us, you can call us, you can reach us on Twitter, at PacManJoel, at BarryIsFunny, at NoHitNick. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, I'm going to throw it out there for you guys. It's Barry and Joel until 4. Nick's behind the glass where he belongs. Hopefully Nick will have some times to chime in today like a doorbell, because the last couple of days he's been limited at best.
Like a caged animal behind the glass.
Yeah,
Nick is our Harambe.
He's drooling out of the corners of his mouth, waiting and salivating to get
injured.
In on everything.
I'm playing injured.
What's wrong?
Limited availability.
Whoa, what's wrong?
Yeah, what happened here that we don't know about?
I'm not injured. I'm
are you, did you get like go to the dentist? Is that why you can't talk?
Or are your feelings hurt? That's what you're injured.
Oh.
No.
Got a torn feeling.
No, well, what is it? No speak. Feelings. People want to know. They care.
No, I'm good.
These are the same people that want me slapped in the face if I say anything bad about you. They need to know you're just playing. You're okay.
Somebody, wait, whoa. Somebody wanted you slapped?
That was a while back. See, I knew you'd get all over this. That was a while back.
It was a punch.
It was a punch? They wanted
it was a punch to face?
Oh, that's different. I'm down.
Yeah.
Slapping isn't appropriate.
I knew it was one or the other. But, Nick, are you really okay and you're just pulling our leg?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome.
Well, excellent.
Anthony Munoz wants you to wear the rings?
On my Jordan.
Yeah, on like the shoelaces.
I told him I'm wearing the J's today, but I'm not putting on the shoelaces.
Yeah, you got some dope kicks on today.
I got the 12s on today, but there's going to be nothing in the shoelaces.
I feel too old to say that, but that's how I would talk normally, but I feel like I can't say that anymore.
But in the commercial break, he like lifts his leg in the air.
Because I was asking you guys what year they were for. Barry came with the answer. You did not.
What was it, 96?
Yeah.
96, 97. They're 12s.
Yeah, they're 12s.
All right. Well, I said 96.
That's 97.
Do I get partial
credit?
It's 97. A little
97.
Bit of
96 was the 11s.
Okay.
97 was the 12s.
So, because we went to the old Dick's Sporting Goods deal this weekend, and Keenan and Trav and myself, we were unaware of the fact that Dick's features Jordans.
I knew they did online. I didn't think they would
have
them.
And I couldn't even find them online. Yeah. Look, because I was like, you know, there were those coupons flying all over town this last weekend, $10 on $20 purchase, all kinds of stuff. So I was like, well, maybe we'll see what kind of shoes they have. Well, online they didn't even have these. We walked in, and of course, this is funny, not funny, but we were waiting for everybody to get set up, and Travis said he was right inside the door, and I couldn't find him. And then I saw a very, very large man in a maroon sweat jacket.
Thank you.
Yes. Driving the handicap cart with the big basket in front around Dick's. And I went, oh, well, there's Travis. And so he was beelining for the Jordan section in his motorized cart. So I followed him. And when we got there, we both went, whoa, Dick's has got Jordans. And they had the 11 Lowe's limited edition with the gold patent leather. And then when Keenan came in, we had to show him. And then we all said, okay, that's it. We're getting him.
Yeah, never liked clean. The Lowe's. Never liked the 11 Lowe's.
Oh, I love the Lowe's. Yeah.
Not a fan. Although
I got married in them.
Oh, yeah?
Black with the white patent leather. I mean, white with the black patent leather I got married in. And I have the all blacks, like your Space Jams, but I have the low version.
But I don't wear, like, I only wear them with shorts. I usually never wear them with jeans. Usually. So I guess that's why I don't like the Lowe's, because I wouldn't wear the Lowe's with shorts, but that's just me.
Well, what was cool was, so Trav's actually, I give him credit. Trav's a really good uncle. His sister shows up with their kids, right? And, you know, one of his nieces wants to play basketball. So he's like, all right, you go out, pick out the shoes you want, and Uncle Trav's going to get them for you.
Oh, that's nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, she comes back, and she got the gold J's. and he goes, wait.
Yeah, ho.
You're playing basketball in those? She goes, no. And he goes, I told you to get a basketball shoe. She goes, Uncle, I got the shoes that are going to make me look cool at school. So he couldn't argue with that. And
he bought them anyway.
And she got the Jordans. But that comes back to the other discussion we've always said, which is Jordans are never worn because they're comfortable. They were always worn because they were fashionable.
Yeah, I'd have been like, you need to put those back and get you some Converse.
I always wondered how the greatest player on the planet played in those shoes.
Well, I imagine that they were custom fit
to his
foot. Because, like, yeah.
True story, not a lot of people know. He has two different size feet.
Most people do, though, like a half an inch.
He wore a 13 and a 13 and a half.
Yeah, that's most people.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think it was El Jefe that was talking about Jordans hurt your feet. They do, man. Like, I got wide feet.
I do, too.
And anytime I wear my Space Jams, that pinky toe's crying. Them dogs are barking when I get home.
Yeah,
man.
You tweeted that because I agreed with that, because that's the honest to God's truth. There's,
yeah, you can.
There's very few Jordan shoes that I would hoop in. I would say that the threes and fours, the three-quarter cut, and the fives, 3, 4, and five were the ones that early on that I thought, and 13s maybe. But yeah, for the most part, Jordan shoes just not comfortable to be even kicking around after a while. Like you said, Barry, they wear on your feet.
Yeah, and they're narrow. I don't get it.
Yeah, they're tough on the dogs.
Yep.
That's for sure. They'll be barking. So we got that out of the way. But we had a lot. Did you watch the World Series? You caught the last two innings.
I just wanted to, real quick, because I pulled up the box score because I was kind of interested. You were talking about Courtney Lee and the starters.
Oh, the Knicks, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to see what the numbers were. And I know I catch heat for being the stats guy and the numbers guy. But would it surprise you?
Yeah. You are our analytics guy.
But would it surprise you if I told you two of the five Knicks starters didn't score?
had to be the center starting.
Yeah, who, Noah and Lee both 0 points.
See, Courtney Lee,
that's
a shock to me. Courtney Lee, who is a above average NBA 3-point shooter from the corners, that really does surprise. But that tells you what we were talking about previously, which is Carmelo is still Carmelo, and he's a gunner. And in most cases, it was one and done. Rose crossed half court, got Carmelo the ball, and he jacked up a three.
35 shots between Rose and Anthony.
I actually looked up the box score at halftime, and I noticed that Lee only had 0 points, but I expected him to pick it up in the second half.
He didn't score because he had 0 points?
No, I'm just saying. I just expected him to pick it up.
Noah had one shot the whole game. Lee had five. So between the two of those guys, six shots, they go 0 for 6. No free throws, obviously. But Anthony and Rose, between those two guys, 35. So the Knicks have talent. They need to start distributing
the ball.
And Noah,
too. Noah's one of the best passing centers in the game. Mm-hmm. But offensively, it may not look pretty the way he shoots it, but he can make shots. That's kind of surprising me. That means he's not right, or again, that team has a lot of work to do to get right.
It's probably a chemistry thing. I mean, these guys, you know, that's going to take some time. Look at Cleveland once they put their stuff together. It took them a little while.
Because I saw the one shot I saw Rose throw up, it was like way off. He like hit none but back.
He's never been known as a jump shooter. I mean, especially from three. He's a clutch shooter and he's a scorer, but, you know,
he penetrates. He does a lot.
Yeah. And again, that's when Derrick Rose was at his best, when he was athletic. He wasn't hurt. He suffered some injuries, too, that have slowed him down considerably. But he was always more of an athletic, strong, penetration first point guard. But I thought that because of that very reason, he'd fit there because Carmelo's such a gunner.
It's so weird. Tristan Thompson, starting center for the Cavs, 0 points.
You mean
points.
Tristan Kardashian?
Yeah. 0 points. So three starters in this game scored no point. Every bench player that played scored.
I'll tell you who I saw going off.
That's weird, right? That three starters in an NBA game don't score, but every bench player does? Yeah. That seems strange to me. That's a weird game.
It is a weird game, but so is basketball, especially from an NBA perspective, especially starting so soon.
Yeah.
But they're underway. So
Rockets tonight, baby!
Rockets tip off tonight. We want to know, how many are they going to win?
Championship!
Will they finish in the playoffs, and what seed will they get if they get in? We want to hear from you. And then while you're at it, you might as well chime in and let us know what your thoughts are on the NBA, because, hey, guess what? The Warriors are not going 82-0. They lost last night, and they lost by a bigger margin at home than they had lost at home all of last season. Guess what, gang? The Spurs ain't dead. El Jefe, you are extremely happy. Most of the rest of Rockets Nation, not, because that means San Antonio is going to be reckoned with again in the Western Conference. We want to hear from you, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter, ESPN97.5.
ESPN97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Barry's funny. And we are here till 4 o'clock. We started talking little Rockets. JC, you want to get in on this. JC, you want to talk about your favorite team, Hello Red Nation. What's up, man?
How are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So, the Rockets are supposed to be, what, 43.5?
Yeah, over-under in Vegas is 43.5.
I think they're going to be over by a game. I think it's going to be 44, 45 games.
Okay.
They're going to get into the playoffs, go back to Golden State, man. Get swept.
So you're bad connection here, but I believe you said go back to the playoffs, play Golden State, and get swept. Is that right? All right, we'll get a better connection, but I believe that's what JC
said. That's what he said. He said they'll win 44-45.
So Barry,
and then get swept by Golden State.
What's your thought on that? I mean, 43.5, pretty much middle of the road. They play 82 games. 41-41 would be 500. So essentially, a couple games over 500. That probably in a really loaded West. And Nick, obviously, chime in too. That puts you right about in that 7-8 spot if you would get in. Where are you guys feeling that?
I have the Rockets at 6, and let me explain why. Sure. I know a lot of people are going to think I'm crazy.
Not necessarily.
But you've got some teams that are kind of up-and-coming teams, like Utah and Minnesota, who I think are going to be in contention for that 7-8 spot. or even six, seven, eight. I think the first five, the way I have it, and not, this isn't because of last night, because we had this discussion before the show yesterday, and I made the list. We just never did it.
Right.
But after I thought about it, I have San Antonio 1, Golden State 2.
Well, you look pretty damn good after last night
and then
with that one.
The Clippers 3rd, Portland 4th, Memphis 5th. So that's my top five. And then those last three spots, I think they're kind of up in the air. It's not going to surprise me if the Rockets finish anywhere between 6 and 8. Same thing for Utah and Minnesota. So I just kind of, because of the offense that the Rockets run and the scoring that they could do, and D'Antoni's got some experience with, you know, with quality starters as opposed to what he had in New York for a while. And I just think the Rockets have a better opportunity to finish ahead of Utah and Minnesota. But I mean, I didn't look at records. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean to get 6-8? Do you think they have to win 45 games?
At least 45 games. At least 45 games will put them at what, 7-8?
That's what I said. Between 43 and 45 will put you in that 7-8 category.
So then I don't feel like I'm too far off from what Vegas is saying at 43.5, because they throw in that hook. So they're really saying if they're going to have a good season, it's going to be 44.
Nick, where are you at with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would put them right there in that 7-8 spot. I mean, we were talking about it before the show yesterday and how, you know, I think Raheel was talking about how Minnesota can make that big jump. If they really do, then I think that could, I guess could hurt the Rockets. But Utah, I think, is an upcoming team.
For sure.
I like Portland as well, but I would still put, I just think Harden's still going to go crazy. He's going to score crazy with the new lineup. I think he's just going to be, he'll average probably 25, 26 points a game.
Well, they averaged the most, and I know it's preseason, but they averaged like 118.
Yeah.
Which was the most in the NBA. So, I mean, don't expect a ton of defense. I think it's going to be fun to watch, kind of like those old Suns teams under D'Antoni.
Yeah.
I was reading an article about D'Antoni, which I knew about him, but I didn't know a lot about him, so I tried to get to it's funny. Everyone, almost to a person, wants to call him the godfather of the current wide-open offense.
Offense, without question.
They're like,
without
this question. Dude, everyone is choosing bits and pieces of his offense. And then Golden State Warriors, the Golden State Warriors are an evolution of Mike D'Antoni's offense. So that credit to him. And that's why you kind of have to feel like, you know what? I know people are down on them. And I thought Joel made good points about James Harden when we were talking about him being motivated because of what happened last year. Because I think when you look at Harden in his MVP caliber season, when he finished second,
right,
the time he spent on Team USA, that was his external motivation, Joel, that you talked about, that he needs. Because it was one of those things where people were making fun of him and his work ethic and what he did and his lack of defense that motivated him. He played good defense the year he finished as runner-up for the MVP. Not great. He's never going to be a great defender, but he actually put in effort and he played decent defense. He was very high in steals. I think he finished top 5, top 10 in the league in steals that year.
Yeah.
He meets a Kardashian and then it all goes downhill and he's not motivated. He comes into training camp overweight. I don't know if that's like confirmed, but he looked fat to me.
He was plus 15 last year coming in.
And so now he's gotten rid of Howard. He's gotten rid of his nemesis. It's quote unquote his team, new coach, you know, breath of fresh air and no Kardashian. And he's faced a lot of criticism for how bad he played last year. So he's motivated again. And so I think that can only help this team. And we saw what a team with a motivated James Harden did in their run to finish second in the West. That's why some people are saying 8-9. I don't know, man. I think this team is different now that he is focused mentally on this season.
How much time you guys got? Because I know you're waiting for this.
Yeah,
So here's my thing. So first of all, from the Harden perspective, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Look, I don't think that you can put James in the category of the Jordans and the Kobes. No. Obviously, you have to win stuff first, right? You have to win MVPs. You have to win titles. You have to make everybody around you better. And I still think he's trying to figure that out. And I'm still trying to see if he can do that. But I think that from an analytics superstar perspective, which we talked about, that means he's getting his numbers. You can't argue with the numbers he got last year. Those numbers put him in a category with only three or four other guys that are all Hall of Famers. So he's getting his numbers, all right? Mm-hmm. But when you look at what it takes to be a winning team in this league, you need a guy that's going to carry your team, and you also need to make your team better, and then you need to elevate your game when you at the times, and you're going to have your ebbs and flows, but you got to elevate it at the times when they need you the most so that you finish strong. 2 years ago, I don't think I'm very far fast. I believe he was the MVP. I know Curry had a great season. I know Curry had a lot more help. Harden elevated a team that struggled through a lot of injuries, a lot of problems, a lot of adversity, and he carried them every single night. But Barry, what you're talking about is what we talked about off the air, and it's something that I fully believe. He was motivated at that point by USA Basketball. He was motivated being around winners who taught him about how important practice habits were, how important defense was. And he had one hell of a season. And then all of a sudden, he started feeling his oats, thinking, I am who they say I am. So instead of doing the same thing he did the year before and working his ass off, he decided to keep up with the Kardashians. You can say it was a curse. You can say, you know what it was? It was a lack of focus.
Yeah.
And so because of that lack of focus, he slipped back. He came in 15 pounds overweight. He never really found his stride. Yes, his numbers were good, but the team suffered greatly. So what I expected, because he was embarrassed last year, because Shaq and Charles made a nightly occurrence of calling him out, making fun of him, laughing at everything, including, you know, having the numbers he had, not making one of the first three All-NBA teams. That's why I think he's going to have an unbelievable year. He may have an MVP-type season. But my challenge to James Harden is, can you do it 2 years from now when, once again, you've silenced the critics and you've proven that you belong in the discussion as one of the better players in the league? That's what's going to be interesting to me, because it's a maturity thing with James. There's no, you can't take away his ability. And people don't realize how strong he is. He's not a big weightlifting guy. He's incredibly strong. He's incredibly gifted. But those two things.
You see that when he goes to the rim.
Right, with the Euro step and being able to maintain it, take the contact, still get to the rack.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the fact that he can get his hands above his head on some of the fouls he gets lets you know he's strong.
And lower half, Kevin McHale, there's a reason why Kevin McHale used to have him guarding everybody from Blake Griffin to other bigs. Because from the waist down, he can stand a guy up that's trying to get low post position because he's that strong in the lower body. What's really bothered me all along with James Harden is what's between his ears, because he hasn't grown up yet. And if you read the ESPN article a couple years ago, it was more about he and his boys creating their own language, driving around in the Bentley, doing the things that they're. But when it comes down to it, there's an internal ticker in Kobe and MJ and guys like that that makes sure every year they're going to get better. They work out with Akeem. They make sure that they've added, LeBron's done it, Kobe's done it. They add things to their game. They get better. I don't see that in James. I see James being that guy that just gets in, shows up, does his thing, gets his numbers. James has to make his players better around him, his team better record-wise, and then he's got to get better every year. You got to add a wrinkle every year. That's what I'm waiting to see from James Harden. Yeah. So I don't take anything away from him. And I really believe he's going to have an MVP-type season. Now, is that enough to carry this team? I don't know, because when we look at what this team had last year and what they have this year and what they did in free agency, I love some of the things they've added. I'm not so sure about other factors and what they have. We'll talk about that more in a minute. 97.5 ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank and Barry Laminack till 4 if Nick pops the button. Nick behind the glass, hopefully joining us because it's basketball talk. Nick is a very, very passionate basketball fan. I like that about Nick.
Hey, before we, because we're going to probably talk Rockets for most of the day, I'm guessing.
Mario Ellie in, by the way. We need to mention that.
That's kind of a cool thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, no biggie. Just a JYD.
Yeah.
One of the most popular Rockets of all time. You know.
Hey, he's going to be in studio, too, not just calling in.
Mr. Kiss of Death himself. Yeah, it's whatevs.
My peoples.
Yeah, okay. Somebody texted. You know, you get a lot of hate on the text, and I don't know why. Because it's the maybe it's just, I don't know. I find it hilarious though when people hate on you or me. Any hate,
I know you do.
But I laugh when it's about me too. So to be fair, but
is this again you reading a bad text about Joel?
Yes.
Is you like softening the blow? Right
I'm
now?
Trying to. I'm trying because I don't want Joel to like jump out the window. Because I'm going somewhere with this.
My bad, I messed that up for you.
Somebody said, what are the odds on the court while he's hooping? Joe, not Joel, Joe.
There you go, because that's the accuracy we needed.
Constantly overfouls and calls every foul at everything. Now, I thought it was a funny text, but I don't think it's accurate because on this show, week one, maybe week two, I think we established that after you guys went and played basketball, Nick is a defensive juggernaut, is what, like a lockdown defender on the playground?
Is Nick
how
is
it
the
was
glove.
Described?
Nick is the glove.
Which all that really means is Nick fouls a lot. And that's literally all that means. If you're a
well, there's one of two things that it can you can take.
No,
that as,
no, you're not. No, if you're a defensive juggernaut on the playground, no, you just foul a lot. Yeah, that's all that means.
Or you have no offense and you need something to hang your hat
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
That's you cherry what it pick is. On that's the wrong end. You just stay on the defensive end and never run back.
But it's probably the second part. I have no offense, so I have to.
You don't have much offensive game?
No.
Let me tell you what. If I ever played basketball with you guys, it would be atrocious. Like, I can't go to my left. I can't. I have
can
no
you
handle.
Least, can you get up and down the floor, yeah, or yeah. we have to play
no,
half court?
No, I have no handle. But I say all this because I am the guy that's the playground defender that I will just foul the holy hell out of you. Until,
I can see you being a big fouler.
Until one dude is like, I'm going to punch you in the face. If you found me again, then I'm like, all right, I need a sub. I'm out.
I lasted like maybe 6 minutes before I was like, oh my God, Joel, I am.
Yeah, I have.
Tired.
I mean, you did all right, though. You didn't sit out. I mean, you didn't like have to take a break in a game or anything.
No, I didn't sit out, but.
I have no handle. I can't shoot. Now, I will get inside, and I don't care how big the dudes are. I'll bang a little bit for the rebound or whatever. That doesn't bother me.
Oh, we know
that
you'll bang a little bit, but I didn't know if it's for the rebound.
I'll bang with the dudes for a while, and then...
Well, and then there's that. Welcome to another Dick's Weekend right here in H-Town.
But, I can't... I mean, every once in a while, I'll have a shot fall, which it's whatever.
Nick, well, I played once, and now I'm out for like...
Yeah.
I've already asked you to come back.
Yeah,
but I will say this. In what you're saying,
yeah.
Nick actually fell down...
That's so
wait. He fell down and the ball went in.
What?
He hadn't made a shot and he got his head, he got like a head of steam and he got rolling to the basket. And it looked like a sniper shot him from like the second deck. And as he was going down, he threw it up. And I looked at it and I go, that's going in. And lo and behold, it took like six tours of the basket and it fell right through the hole.
It was one of two shots that I hit that day.
Yeah.
It was a killer shot, though.
Was it?
It was intentional.
It sounds amazing,
the ball
but for
wasn't
all the wrong reasons.
But the shot was intentional.
For entertainment purposes, it was a very, very
that
good
is
shot.
Awesome.
Yeah, but Nick can verify. That's not true. But thank you, Texter. And Joe. Joe really thanks you, too, whoever that might be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, look, you got more?
No, that was it. I just thought that was pretty funny. I really wanted to use that to get to Nick.
This Travis thing intrigues me, too, that he can dunk. I want to say that I believe him, but. At his current state, and based on our discussion late in yesterday's show about the intake, that's a whole lot to get airborne.
Yeah.
That's 350.
Yeah, but he stands 6'3". He probably doesn't have to jump that high to get up there.
And he's athletic, so.
And he's got long arms, so.
Yeah, okay. So
TJ Shepherd just said, Barry, I'll bang with the dudes is what you forever. Oh, trust me, I have said so much worse on these airwaves.
Nick, you should probably find that audio bit.
One, yeah, well, it's not going to bother me. If you guys think that's going to bother me, like,
no!
And I'm not saying you guys. I'm saying, like, texters and tweeters. I have said some of the most moronic stuff on purpose half the time.
Right, but
there's nothing I can say that's going to embarrass myself.
I just think that, again, like the texters, that's the ultimate cowardly confidence with the keyboard. Deal. We get more ridiculous text than anything else.
TJ's a good dude, though. TJ Shepherd's a good guy.
But tweets are fine, and TJ's a good dude. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to bring up, because we had mentioned this, and Nick and Barry were trying to figure out from last year's playoff seedings, where does 43.5 put you? Well, the Rockets got in at 8 last year at 41-41, so an even 500. Memphis and Dallas tied at 42-40, so they were 6-7. And the Blazers were 5 at 44-38.
Super Bowl.
So there you have it. So if you look at the Western Conference, my big thing, which I was on, that I was trying to mention to you guys is you lose Dwight Howard. I don't think Dwight Howard was anything near the Dwight Howard that even they thought they were getting when they signed him. Dwight's a good dude, just never performed on the floor. So good luck to you, and you get all that money back.
But before you go on,
okay.
Here's the thing that worries me once they do make the playoffs. Is
if
Dwight
they make the playoffs,
Dwight was
their
most consistent player in the playoffs. Like, he was the go-to.
Without question.
And they don't have that now.
In the playoffs, and maybe so, that's why he was preserving.
So, but there's a good point, too. Because James Harden, as I said, we coined the phrase hashtag of analytic superstar. Because he's getting his numbers. But he's really not all the characteristics of what a true superstar is in terms of leadership, making the guys around you better, things like that, right? But when you look at it, it's a key stat. Because the other thing James is going to have to do is completely separate from whatever he does in the regular season. He's got to change that image of who he is in the playoffs. Because you guys are right. I saw it firsthand. Dwight Howard was the best player they had in the playoffs for 2 years running. And you have a guy that arguably 2 years ago was the MVP of the league.
Yep.
That's where you shine. That's where your money is made. That's where you get all the accolades. That's where you get the extra credit because you win titles or you pursue them. And in the pursuit, like we like to know with the hashtag, when you're pursuing them, you stand out. You look head and shoulders above the rest. He hasn't been able to do that. So that's a big thing with him, too. He's got to be able to, when the lights are the brightest and the stage is the biggest, he's got to step up, not step back. Because he stepped back in the playoffs the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair assessment. So you take the team as it stands. I will give them credit. I think that Ryan Anderson is a guy they desperately needed that is going to have a breakout year. Because for the last couple years, James lost a lot of assists for as many as he got simply because he made the right pass and guys just didn't make shots.
Oh, God, they were atrocious shooters.
Corey Brewer can't make threes. Trevor Ariza is very streaky making threes. We already know that KJ McDaniel has a 25-letter alphabet with no J in it. So there's guys that need work on the J's. Well, they did that. I think they overpaid because I think you got a glorified Matt Bullard in Ryan Anderson. But I will say he does very well. He has incredible range, and he is a great shooter. Here's where I get into my breakdown of the Rockets. It's going to come down to two guys, and it's not going to – I don't care what they do from their ability – it's what they do with their health. Eric Gordon has only made the playoffs once in his career, and he struggled to play three quarters of an NBA season over the last five. You paid him $15 million a year. He also plays the same position as your best player. He's got to not only find a way to be on the floor next to James, as well as spelling James, because he can shoot when he's out, but he's got to find a way to stay on the floor health-wise.
Yeah.
And Nene is the same thing. A lot of people call it Nene-itis. But Nene, or Nene, one word.
Nah. That too. Call him that? That's easier.
Regardless of what you call him, you have to realize that on the floor, he has struggled again to stay injury-free. And he misses about 15 to 25 games a year. So here's the thing. If Gordon and Nene can stay healthy, and that's a big if, now I really like your team winning more than 43.5. If they can't, then here's what you have. You have a team that's going to score 116 points a game. My question is, can you stop the opponent from scoring 117? In the preseason, they impressed me. They really squeezed everybody at midcourt. They picked up in transition. They slowed down a lot of offense from the other team. Can that translate to the regular season? That's my biggest question. We want to hear from you. 713-780-ESPN. Or you can tweet us. Let us know what you think about your Rockets. Is 43.5 fair, over or under on their wins for the year? And where do you see them fitting into the playoffs in the Western Conference? We're here till 4 o'clock. Mario Elie in about 10, 15 minutes, maybe a little sooner. And he'll join us for a few. We want to hear from you. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.